Ye legends. Thank you, band. Thank you, Benny Clark. At underscore Benny Clark. This guy is the most encouraging guy I've ever met on social media. I had no idea who he was before I came in, but when I came in, I knew at under Benny score Benny Clark, because he just sat there and he's just the most encouraging young guy ever. So thank God for guys like that. Hey, can I say this? Remember the 7th of November. remember the 7th of November. Whatever you do, I don't know what's going to happen that night. I know it's bonfire night. You guys sound a bit wild when it comes to bonfire night. And the Australian law, we actually used to have bonfire night. Can I just say that to you? But we didn't know the story behind it. I found out the story behind it today. And, you know, God save the king and all of that. But we used to have bonfire night. But we didn't know it as bonfire night. It was firecracker night for us. And we used to put a scarecrow on top of the on the thing, and so we thought it was one of those things that you know, keep the birds away and all of that. But now that I know the full story, the Australian government actually cancelled it because too many people were getting hurt and kids were firing each other with firecrackers, and which we used to do. And so the last I remember firecracker night was when I was 10 years old, and so that was literally 30 years ago. So there you go. I know, I don't look it, do I? I know what you're thinking. Exactly, I don't look 40. Thank you. You are the most encouraging person in the world. Would you come and pray for us tonight? Come on. Come on. Word will work. Okay. How's that?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Evie.
Evie. All right.
Dear God, you know, I just pray that you'll be here tonight, God, and that your words will come through to us and that we'll relate to it, God. And I just thank you that we have Lee with us tonight and that we can hear his amazing word, God. Lord, I just thank you. Amen.
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 Thank you. Next weekend, I'm going to be home with my family for the first time in a few weeks. But if I wasn't home with my family, I would be on youth camp up here for sure. Absolutely. I know I'm a little bit beyond the years of youth now, but I can pull out the immaturity and all of that sort of stuff. I would fit in perfectly, and so. Yeah, if I wasn't there, I'd be on youth camp next week. And so you guys enjoy youth camp. Parents, send your kids. Greatest thing in the world. Man, they come back. They are full of God. They are full of the Spirit. They are so full of... Man, we got youth reports coming back from our youth camps where kids would come back from camp and do the ironing, the vacuuming, the washing. And so parents, you send your kids on that. You believe God that they will have a revival. They'll come back. They'll clean the house, make their beds, do the washing, whatever it takes. There's no stopping what happens on summer camp or youth camp. You would be nuts not to send your kids onto youth camp. And so it's amazing what God does when he gets into the hearts of young kids. You know, that's actually a true story. There was a kid years ago who went on camp, and his parents weren't in church, and they actually didn't like him coming to our church. And so anyway, he went, and he, on youth camp, he felt the Lord say, do the washing, the ironing, the vacuuming. And literally, he came back. I know, it's a word, it's a word. Tell me which one's your kids. Well, you point them out and I'll prophesy. Really feel like the Lord's saying right there. But he literally came back and started doing the dishes and all of that. And his parents asked him about 2 weeks later, Robbie, what's happened to you? And he said, what do you mean? And they said, why are you doing all of this stuff now? And he said, I just felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to do. His parents come to church and got saved. And so pretty amazing, huh? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, little dude. No pressure. No pressure. Mum's already saved, but you never know. You never know. A few years ago, I took my children to a fun park, a water park, and we were up there, and we went into this water park, and I looked up, and there was a green tube, a yellow tube, and a blue tube, and these big tubes, they dropped about 4 meters, and then come up and around and down into a pool, and I looked at them, and I was like, I hate heights. I do not do heights. I will never bungee jump out of planes. That stuff's not for me. I want my feet on the ground, full control at all times. And so I'm looking at it thinking, okay, my boys would be scared of that. And my boys go, Dad, let's go on that. And I'm like, I said, let's go on to some of the other rides first. Like, they're so much fun. Look at that one over there. And they're like, nah, Dad, let's go on that. They don't know what that means. They just see colors and think, it looks fun, right? And so we go over there, and there's a young 15-year-old kid there who's probably getting paid like $5 an hour, and he stands there, he goes, so how old are your children? I said, oh, they're 11 and 9. And he goes, you've got to be 12 to come on this ride. I said, no problem at all. Sorry, kids, we can't go on the ride. When my youngest son says, you can, Dad. I said, no, there's no need. Let's go on some of the other rides. I said, no, Dad, you go on it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to be the hero in this story. And so I walk up and I get up to the top of the stairs, and I'm watching. And there's this little kid there he's a kid to me. He's 15 years old. He's got acne and braces. And he's sitting there on this stool. And this clock counts down 5, 4, 3. And he just hits this green button. And these guys are like, and they're out of there. And they go up and around. You hear this, and I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, why am I even up here? And so I'm watching, and I work out that, okay, he hits it between 3 and 2 every time. And so I'm good with that. And so I jump in, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just trying to, you know, take as much courage as possible. I step forward into this thing. I'm trying to stay focused on just get to the end of the pool. It'll be all right. It's only a matter of seconds, and you'll be at the end of the pool. No problem at all. So I look up, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm thinking, yes, it's broken. It's broken, or Jesus has returned, or some. Lord, you are so good to me. And then, and I'm away, and I'm going up and around. I'm going down this tube, and I come down into the pool. I'm like, into the pool. My kids are standing at the end, like, Dad, Dad, and I'm like, yeah, yes. And so I get up out of the pool, and I'm walking out, and I'm pulling my swimmers out of everywhere that they found themselves. Looking at my legs to make sure it's only water running down there. And my kids were like, Dad, how was it? And I'm like, it's really not that good, kids. They're like, oh, let's go to the next ride. I had a fear that if I said, man, it was unbelievable, they'd go again, Dad. And so here I am. Here I am, this 15-year-old kid's got my whole life in here. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about me. He's just 5, 4, 3, and you're out of there. And sometimes in life, I believe that there are moments where we just got to step out a little bit. Where we just got to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. Life is so easy. In fact, we work most days so that we know what tomorrow looks like, so that we can live comfortable, so that everything about our life. But you know, the walk with God, the walk with Jesus, is never comfortable. It's never comfortable. And I believe tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject beyond your ability, because there are times where I believe that God calls each and every one of us to step up and to step out into something new. Begin to see things from the way maybe he sees them. Begin to see people from the way he sees them. Begin to step out of what is comfortable for us and step into what may be uncomfortable for you, but is actually comfortable for him. Right, remember God says to Moses, take your sandals off and step onto the holy land. And so Moses takes his sandals off. I think what God was saying there, like if you think about sandals, there's no shoe shops back in Moses' day. So if you think about where he got the sandals from, he probably made the sandals. And it's like God was saying to him, Moses, step out of what you've created and step onto what I've created. And sometimes I believe that we've got to step out of the comfort zone that we've created as Christians. Sometimes we've got to step out of everything that we know, that we're familiar with, and step into somewhere maybe that God is calling us into, somewhere that is unknown to you, somewhere that is uncertain, somewhere where you're going to feel insecure. Because in that moment, God is going to probably grow you and show you something you've never seen before. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is my favorite passage of scripture in the whole Bible. It's the best story ever. We sing this song actually about it in church, and it's called Oceans. And we sing, how many of you know Oceans? All right, cool, cool. And it goes like this: Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. And I look around at our college students often, and they're like this: Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. I sit there going, you have no idea what you're singing. Think about that for one moment. Spirit, lead me where it makes no sense to me at all. Man, that is tough. That is a tough journey right there. But we sing it and we love it and everything like that. But often, again, like I said yesterday, I believe God challenges us. Are you living what you're singing? And it says here in chapter 14 of verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Notice that, in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, or you of inconsistent faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I love this passage of scripture because whenever we come to a story, whenever we come to a narrative, what we're going to ask ourselves is, where's the conflict in the scripture here? Where's the conflict going on? And the conflict is going on now between Peter where he is and Peter where he needs to go. And it's often the same conflict that's going to happen with each and every one of us. Every one of you young people, Jesus is calling you. You're always going to have conflict with, this is where I'm at, but do I have what it takes to get me to where I need to go? The answer is no. You don't have what it takes, but here's the good news. He does. He's got everything you need. He's got everything you're going to need in your future to step into all that he has for you. There's some mighty men and women of God right here down the front. You never know what God's going to do in and through your life, but stay close to Jesus because he's got everything you need. So the conflict right here is that Peter's in the boat. I'm not a mathematician, and probably didn't do that good at maths at school, to be dead honest with you, 16%, which is cool. It was just 84% that I didn't know. But I've learned a lot more since, so I'm probably up to around 50% now. But there was this thing called Archimedes' principle of flotation, and it talked about, you know, the downward pressure of an object when it's equal or less than the upward force of the water made by the object, then that object will float. Or if it can replace its mass in weight, then that object will float. So here's Peter and the 12 disciples sitting in Archimedes' principle of flotation. They're pretty comfortable. They're doing good. And they're out there in the middle of the night, and Jesus comes across the water. Jesus walks across the water. Now that doesn't work with Archimedes' principle of flotation. And so here we have now this conflict going on where the disciples are like, is that him or isn't it? If it is, then he's more than a man. But if it isn't, then Jesus is probably still a man. And so now this conflict begins between the disciples and Jesus and Peter. I love Peter. He's so from Australia. And so he gets up in the boat. He gets up in the boat. Think of the wisdom here. And he's afraid. And he says to him, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Are you serious? Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Hello, there's a span of water between Peter and Jesus. Most of us in the room, we spend our prayer life going, Jesus, if it's you, come into my boat. And we wonder why we don't grow. But here Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Jesus says, come. And I'm sure there's a lot of the story missing here where Peter went, I'm not kidding. I will actually come to you, Jesus. And he's like, well, come. And Peter's like, I will. This is the last time I'm going to ask. And Jesus says, come. So Peter turns around. He's like, hey, you boys going to come with me? They're like, no, man, we got you backed in prayer. He called you, Peter. He didn't call us. He's like, come on, Thomas, come with me. He's like, Thomas is like, I doubt you're even going to get out of the boat, bro. Matthew, come with me. He's like, no, I'm a tax collector. I kind of got a bet going with Judas here. And so we don't think you're going to make it. And so he turns around, John, come on, man, you'll back me. John's like, man, I'm the one that the Lord loves. If I die, who's he going to love, right? And so they're like, Peter, you go for it, man. You go for it. We've got you supported in prayer. The gift of intercession has just come upon us. So Peter gets out on the side of the boat. Here he is holding on to Archimedes' principle of flotation. And he gets over and he puts his foot in the water. And he's got probably 25% foot in water. The rest is holding on to Archimedes' principle of flotation. He's trying to work out, is Jesus better than a Greek philosopher? Is Jesus more important and greater? Is his presence greater than any Greek philosopher's principle of flotation? And so he gets out on the side of the boat and he begins to hold on to Archimedes. And he's like, man, Archimedes is keeping me safe right now. And as he begins to let go of Archimedes' principle of flotation, he begins to realize that, whoa, hang on, Jesus' word, come, is greater than Archimedes' principle of flotation. So he kind of lets it go and then he holds on again. Then and the disciples are like, Peter, get out there, man. We got you backed. Oh, shandarabara, they're Pentecostals. And so they got them fully backed in prayer. They are speaking in tongues. It's all going on, right? And so Peter gets out on the water. Peter gets out on the water and he begins to see Jesus. And Peter's like, wow. And the disciples are there like, he's really walking on water. And you got to know that your Greek text here, guys, to understand what's going on here. But it basically says that Peter got out there. He began to do the moonwalk across the water. That's what it says in the Greek. And then he does the moonwalk past the boat. The disciples are like, wow. Then he comes back across. He's doing Gangnam style. Completely across the water. They're like, that is unbelievable, Peter. You go for it, man. And so Peter gets out on the water. Peter gets out on the water and he begins to walk towards Jesus. Notice in the text here. Notice in the text, Jesus says, take courage. And that's point number one tonight. Take courage. Because the text tells us here that Peter didn't have what it took to walk on water. Jesus says, take courage. Jesus doesn't say stir it up from within. Jesus knows that Peter doesn't have what it takes to do what he's about to do, what he's about to be commissioned to do. He says, take courage, take courage. He knows it's not in Peter. His courage is in Christ Jesus. And when Jesus says come, when Jesus says take courage, he's about to empower you and give you everything you need in order to do what it is he's called you to do. And I feel like in this room tonight that Jesus is saying to some of you, take courage. You've been trying to stir it up. You've been looking everywhere for it and you've not found it. Tonight, if you look to him, if you'll take courage, you'll find your answer in him tonight. Take courage. Take courage, Jesus says. It is I. The original text does actually say, take courage, I am. Take courage. I am the same I am that called Moses is the same I am walking across the water. At this point, take courage. I am. Don't be afraid. Do you know psychologists say that fear is an object or situation typically disproportional to the actual danger posed? Disproportional. Psychologists say that we worry about 90% of things that will never happen. Isn't that amazing? That we worry about 90% of things that are never going to happen. And we get over into fear. And as soon as we get over into fear, we take our eyes off Jesus. But our faith lies in Jesus Christ. Beyond our ability lies in the realm of faith, not in the realm of fear. Fear will keep you in your comfort zone. Fear will keep you bound to whatever it is that's around you. Fear will keep you bound to comfort. But you know, comfort comes from certainty. Growth comes from uncertainty. And sometimes as Christians, in order to grow, we've got to step out and go into places that we've never been before. A few years ago, I was doing a healing meeting, and there were a bunch of new Christians, and I kind of did this altar call at the end. I said, listen, if you've got sickness in your body, come down the front. I'd love to pray for you. And people began to come down the front. And as they come down, I saw this lady. She would have been around my age at the time, which would have been around 30. And she was coming down with a walking stick. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, it doesn't look right that she's got a walking stick. And I'm thinking, wow, I've never prayed for someone with a walking stick and seen them heal before. And so I kind of get gripped a little bit with, wow, okay, here she comes. She's coming that side. I really felt the Lord say, Lee, start this side. And so I went over to this end of the line and I began to pray for some people with our new Christians, Pastor Nathaniel. And we start to pray for people and people are getting healed and everything like that. Well, we come to the guy before the lady, and I said to the guy, you know, what's the problem? He said, oh, I got issues with my legs. And I said, do you believe the Lord can strengthen you? And he said, yeah, I believe he can. And I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. And I said to Nathaniel, hey, this one's going to take me a while. Why don't you go around and pray for the next lady? And Nathaniel's like, no, I'm cool. We got time. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I pray for this man and that the Lord would strengthen his legs, and he begins to move his legs and everything like that. And then we come across to the girl with the walking stick, and I said, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal you? Well, her husband pops over behind her shoulder and goes, yeah, we believe he can. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I said, well, we're going to believe God to heal your body right now. We're going to believe God to strengthen you. The Bible says the Lord is our strength, in whom shall we fear? And we're going to believe for him to strengthen you right now. And she turns around to her husband. They're having this discussion. And I'm looking at Nathaniel, and Nathaniel's like, I don't know. And I'm trying to listen in, and I'm hearing this, oh, yeah, that is true. Ah, you're right. Yep. And she turns back to me, and she goes, listen, don't pray for me tonight. And I said, well, why not? And she said, if I get healed tonight, I won't get the compensation from the car accident. And if I don't get the compensation, then I won't be able to buy the house that we're going to get with the money that we get. And I sat there and I said, listen, don't worry about the money. If you get healed tonight, you will know that Jesus Christ is your healer. I can guarantee you that Jesus Christ is also your provider. You're about to step into a miracle. And she goes, no healing tonight, and walks away on a walking stick. And I'm like, oh, they don't teach me that in Bible college. Well, they don't teach me what to do in that situation. I'm looking at Nathaniel, and Nathaniel's like, I don't know. But I often sit there and I think, I wonder what would have happened if she had just taken courage that night, really put her faith in Jesus, all of her trust in Jesus, and began to believe him. But she was more focused on the money coming from the government than she was on the power coming from Jesus. And I believe that the same thing happens for us over and over again. Jesus says, come on, take courage. But oh no, I'm in my comfort zone now. And sometimes I believe that we got to step out of our comfort zone, that we got to put our faith in Jesus and believe him to go into somewhere we've never been before in order to see the church go into places that she's never been before. Take courage, Jesus says. It is I. Don't be afraid. Number two tonight. Number two, not only take courage, but step forward. Step forward. Peter begins to step forward into the water. He begins to walk on water. We often sit there and we think, but Peter's unbelievable. He was the first pope, right? So he's so anointed. He's a mighty man of God. Do you know what? This is the same Peter that confesses Jesus as Lord, and two verses later, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. Right? And like I said yesterday, if your senior pastor calls you Satan, you know you're in trouble. There's nothing great about Peter. This is the same Peter that goes up on Mount Transfiguration with Jesus. And Moses and Elijah come and he goes, well, let me build you three tabernacles. Let's just sit in this moment. And Jesus is like, Peter, what is wrong with you? This is the same Peter that pulls money out of a fish and then haggles over, how many times do I have to forgive people? 70 times. What? I can't forgive people that much. This is the same Peter that hangs out with Jesus in the final hours. And Jesus says, sit here and pray. I'm going to go over there into Gethsemane. I'm going to pray. I'm going to basically sweat drops of blood. And Jesus goes over there. He comes back. Half the guys are asleep. The other half are on Instagram going, hey, hang on with the Messiah right now. Got him covered in prayer. Hashtag so humbled. Hashtag to God be the glory. This is the same Peter that boasts. When everyone else leaves you, when Thomas leaves you, when Judas leaves you, when everyone else leaves you, Jesus, I will never ever deny you, yet he denies Jesus three times. Can I say this to each and every person in this room? What we find from Matthew and Luke, when they talk about Peter, what we find over and over again is although Peter took his eyes off Jesus, Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. And there's some people in this room tonight that you need to know, although you've taken your eyes off Jesus, Jesus has never taken his eyes off you. He's still calling you out. He still has a plan and a purpose for you. You might be sitting there thinking, but you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. Keep walking into your future. Keep walking into your tomorrow, your next week. Take courage, step forward in Jesus' mighty name. There's going to be moments where we make mistakes. There's a guy here a few years ago in Bible college, and he came to me, and it was one of those, Lee, can I hang out with you? I want to become a great man of God. And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. He was English. And I said, let's hang out together. And I began to realize that there's a few things that I just need to fix up in this guy's life. He liked the ladies liked him, right? He used to be a footballer. And so I pulled him beside me, and in first year in Bible college, back in those days, you weren't allowed to date for the first 12 months. And that was back in your day. I've changed the rule since 6 months now. Sorry, bro. Okay, that's right. All right, this story is not actually Dave. Anyway, let's keep going, Pastor Dave. So the rule was no dating for 12 months. So I'm asleep this night, and at 2 a.m. in the morning, I get this text message. For some reason, I got my phone beside the bed. I never put my phone beside the bed. And my text message goes off, and it kind of wakes me up. And I thought, who would be texting me at 2 a.m.? So I kind of pick it up, and I read the text. Hey, babe, can't stop thinking about you. And I'm like, hey, babe, I can't stop thinking about you. And I'm like, but Cherie, Cherie's right. She's not texting me. And then I look up, and here it is, Luke Brendling. So I wrote back to Luke, see you at 8:30 in the morning. You will stop thinking about me. 8:30 the next morning, he comes into my office. We do make mistakes. We do make mistakes. But you know what? When God's got you, when Jesus has got a call on your life, you'll take the mistake and learn from it and continue to step forward. Luke is a great man of God, a mighty man of God. He continues to, you know, live out his faith walk and continues to journey and battle, you know, against the enemy and everything. He's an amazing man of God. And there's people in this room, you need to know, although you've made mistakes, God's still calling you. There's still a plan and a purpose for you. Take courage. Step forward. Don't hold back. Don't pull back. Don't retreat back into your comfort zone. There are so many more things that we need to see in this church, in this area. There are still people out there that are unsaved. And if we stay in here in our comfort zone, we're never going to reach out to the people out there. There are people that need to be here. There are people that need to be in Blackpool. There are still people out there that need to be in church. Amen. Amen. Let's be people that step out of our comfort zone, keep our eyes on him, take courage, step forward. Number three tonight, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused on what he's called you to. Stay focused. You notice in the text here that Peter gets out on the water. He begins to walk into everything that God has for him. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says that, notice this, it says, Peter saw the wind. How do you see the wind? But the Bible says that Peter saw the wind. He didn't see the wind. He actually saw the effects of the wind, the circumstances, the situations around him. And he began to think, hang on, the presence of the wind, the presence of the situation, the circumstances is greater than the presence of the one calling me. And as soon as he begins to think that, he begins to sink. But notice this to each and every person in this room. Notice this. The Bible says that Peter cried out and immediately. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him up. Notice Jesus didn't turn his back, go and pray. Should we let him sink a little bit longer? What's going on here? I'm going to teach you a lesson right now for what you just did. No, it says he cried out and immediately Jesus reached out. Do you know God's grace is towards you? God's grace is towards you. His love is towards you. And so often we beat ourselves up, we get over into guilt and shame, but the Bible says there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Yeah, you're gonna mess up a little bit, you're gonna get it wrong from time to time, but learn from the mistakes and continue to keep going into all that God has called you to be. Stay focused. Stay focused. We've got a wall in our house. I'll get the band to come and join me. We've got a wall in our house, and it's kind of, when we first moved into our house, the kids said, Dad, can this be our height wall? And I'm like, yeah, no problem at all. And so they kind of, it was in my office, and they go around and they measure how high they are on the wall. And so they measured it the first time we moved into the house. They come back the next day and they measured again, and it didn't move. And they come back the next day and they measured again, and it still didn't, and they measured again. After a week, they go, Dad, we're not growing. And because that was kind of always, hey, boys, you need to go to bed now. Oh, we don't want to go to bed. No, if you don't go to bed, you won't grow. And so they come back after a week, Dad, we haven't grown. And I said to them, hey, give it 3 months. Give it 3 months. And so we gave it 3 months. They come back and they measure. They're like, oh, Dad, I've grown about this far. Then they come back 12 months later and they measure again. Dad, I've grown about this far. So often in Christianity, we want to see the growth every day. And we come back and we're like, oh, I haven't grown. Oh, I haven't grown. But can I say this to each and every person, to each and every young person? You give yourself 12 months with Jesus, you'll be amazed at how much you've grown. You'll be amazed at what he can do in your life. You give yourself 12 months consistently walking with Jesus, and you'll be amazed at what he does in your life. You'll come out and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that I've grown that much. A situation, circumstance will come your way. You'll speak into it. You'll pray against it. You'll defeat it. You'll be like, man, I had no idea that that was even possible. You stay with Jesus. You take courage. You step forward. You stay focused. You'll be amazed at what he can do in and through your life. And I want to pray for some people tonight. I want to pray for some people in the room. I feel like there's people in the room tonight that this message is for you. It's a message if you need to step out of your comfort zone tonight. And if that's you, I'm going to ask everyone to stand in this place for one moment. If that's cool. Is everyone good? I feel like there's people tonight that you need to step out of your comfort zone. I don't know what your comfort zone is for you. I don't know whether maybe it's an area of weakness that you just keep going back to over and over and over again, and you're like, man, this is just what I keep retreating back to. And tonight Jesus is saying, come. You go, man, I'd love to break this thing. Tonight Jesus is saying, come. And I believe tonight, as you take a step forward, that God's about to do something in your life. I'm going to ask the young guys just to kind of step aside for one moment. And if that's you in this room and you would have the courage to come forth tonight, you really feel like that Jesus is saying, take a step tonight. It can be in the area of maybe a new business idea or whatever it is. I don't know what it is for you, but you know tonight that Jesus is saying, come on, take courage, step forward. It can be an area of comfort that you keep going back to, but you know tonight Jesus is saying, that's enough, come. Come, step forward. If that's you in this place tonight, I'm going to ask you just to come forward, because I'd love to pray for you. I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to help me. But if that's you, just come forth tonight. Take courage. Take courage. Step forward. We're going to take a physical step forward and try and defeat a spirit that will try and hold you back and keep you comfortable in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every person that you've got down the front here. I'm going to ask you guys just to lead us in worship, if that's cool. I'm going to let go of the mic and go and pray and lay hands on these people. Is that cool? Amen.